That's it. The Dave Charles Show brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito. It's 6 minutes past 11 o'clock, and my second guest for the day is in the studio, Nick Akampora. Lovely to have you on the Dave Charles Show. Nick, thanks for joining me.
Dave, thank you for having me on, sir.
Now, for those that don't know you, how would you introduce yourself?
Oh, where would I begin? I'm probably the guy that you see running around Bolito 9 times out of 10. That's likely to be me. So I'm a runner. I'm a person that helps people run their best, feel their best. I don't know. It's hard to describe yourself in a few sentences, eh?
It's a bit of a challenge. But you've always been, I would imagine, in the Bolito area, the go-to guy when it comes to the Dolphin Coast Striders.
Yeah.
Because you are not only a runner, but you also are a biokineticist, so you really understand the mechanics of the human body, and if one wants to get more out of it, how to do that, or if you similarly are injured, how to recover. But clearly, when you were a little Nick Akampora, when you were growing up, you had an idea that the world was going to be as it hopefully still will be one day, marvelous, and you had a dream for a career in what?
I couldn't have imagined how good the world was actually going to be. You never know when you're young, growing up, what you actually want to do. I always enjoyed sports. I always wanted to be close to sports. I used to play a lot of football, soccer, and that was my thing. I thought I was going to try and make it professional in soccer, and it just didn't go my way.
Did you grow up in Italy?
I grew up in Italy till I was 12 or 11. I moved to South Africa in 2001.
As an Italian boy?
As an Italian boy, not a single word of English.
Wow. Was that, how hard was that?
No, it was hard. Look, I look back at it and it probably turned me into the person that I am today. But it was hard. You feel society doesn't really take you in very, very easily if you can't speak the language, certainly. So, yeah, it was difficult, but it helped a lot. And I had to be held back. I had to repeat grade 7, a whole bunch.
Which school did you go to?
I went to Crawford La Lucia. So we moved to Umhlanga.
No English. They bumped you into an English-speaking school.
Yeah.
But luckily, I know that Crawford has a reputation for going the extra mile when it comes to inclusiveness, no matter where you come from or what your talents are, they try to find a way to bring you in. Was that in your experience the case?
For sure. I love my time at Crawford. I don't know what it's like nowadays, but at the time that I was there, I thoroughly enjoyed my years there. And yeah, it was just hard for me because school was different in Italy. You go to school till half past 4 in the afternoon. There's no sports at school. So it's just totally different coming here. You know, you're at school till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. You got extramurals, you got sports, you got so many opportunities that you don't have in Italy. So it was difficult to get used to it. And when I got held back in grade 7, restarting doing grade 7 again was probably the best thing for me because by then I could speak English, I made friends, and I inserted myself a lot better into those social circles.
How did you learn to speak English so fast?
I don't know, Dave. I think just getting thrown into the deep end. You either go to sink or you swim.
So you didn't go to English lessons?
I did in the beginning for the first couple of months. It was just part of what I had to do in order to go to school. But I mean, I couldn't even ask to go to the bathroom. And my first day at school, I'll always remember it because in Italy, your teachers come into your class. So you stay in the same class and the teachers cycle through. That was my experience. My first day in Crawford, you had your class and you moved to the different classrooms with the different teachers. And I just stayed in art class for the whole day. I did art class the whole day. The teacher only realized at the end of the day that I was still doing the same project over and over again. I just had no idea what I was doing.
Wow. And from there, well, things changed.
Yeah.
But just getting back to the Italian heritage, one of the things that is so strongly associated in my mind with Italy is the food. It's different. I'm sure that is the case. How different is it?
Oh, Dave, my life revolves around food. You think my life revolves around running? It's like going from the next meal to the next meal. What I'm going to make? What are we going to eat? It's just culture that's embedded in you from a young age. Both my mom and my dad. My mom is a chef. My dad was a pizzaiolo. He made pizzas. We had a restaurant. That's why we moved to South Africa. So food, I'd say, is a big part of who I am.
So if I ask you a food-related question, and I'm going to, because I want to know. You know, there's this South African idea that a spaghetti or a pasta carbonara is a creamy pasta.
Mm.
But traditionally, there's no cream in it. Isn't that right?
There's no cream in it. And it's a hard thing to make correctly without actually serving scrambled eggs and some bacon with some overcooked pasta, which often is the case when you have carbonara here.
So what is the secret?
I think the secret is making sure that you cook it on a low heat. Once you've cooked your pasta, you've got your egg sauce or your mix of egg already pre-made, that you then pull off the heat and you put it through the hot pasta with its residual heat, and you allow it to become a creamy base without actually adding cream. Of course, adding a bit of cream is a little bit of a trick that can save you a lot.
But I see the Italian chefs say, you don't add the cream, add pasta water.
Pasta water.
Pasta water is the secret sauce, and that makes everything really unctuous and gorgeous. Then there's another thing. You talked about the bacon, which is what one uses in South Africa.
Yes.
Because you can't get
pancetta.
Pancetta.
You can get it.
Can you? Where do you get good pancetta in Valletta?
Oh, you can go to Woolworths, you get some sliced pancetta. So it's not quite, you want it chunky. So sliced is not ideal, but it's still really good. Otherwise, there's a couple of food stores, not necessarily in Bolito, but in Durban, where you can go and find proper, authentic Italian pancetta. But most people here don't really enjoy pancetta because it's quite fatty, whereas bacon is a lot more meaty.
So here we go. You see, food is definitely on the agenda for most people that enjoy life. Exercise in your case is vital, but of course you got to fire it all up with a. What is your favorite meal?
Yeah, I love pasta. Hey? I eat pasta probably 3-4 times a week, and different kinds of pastas. I just love the simplicity of it, the different flavors that you can get into it, and how it's so easy to make, but it's quite technical if you do it incorrectly.
Do you actually make your own pasta? Do you have a pasta machine?
We do. We haven't done it in a while, but a fun fact, through COVID, when I couldn't practice as a bio, we actually opened up a pasta business, myself, Leah, my wife, and my mom. We started doing home cooking and home frozen meals, Italian meals, for people all over Durban, and it actually took off quite well. And from that point on, we started doing all kinds of homemade pastas and raviolis and, you know, the whole shebang.
Wow. Simplest pasta, I think, is the how do you say it?
Aglio olio.
There you go.
It's garlic and oil. But even simpler than that is just a butter pasta, which, I mean, most people here, it's like, what are you talking about? You're just putting butter through pasta. But for me, a nice, if you get good quality butter, which is also hard to find, and you cook your pasta correctly, you take that pasta water that you're talking about, a little ground of pepper over the top of it, and some good parmesan, meal of champs.
The secret is the parmesan. Parmesan. Oh,
the good
must
parmesan.
Be Grana Padano, nothing less.
I
could talk food all day. I love it. But let's move on to other, because your life has taken some interesting turns.
Mm.
During COVID, for example, you got married. Wow. Well, kind of just before or just after. Was it you decided you were packing your bags and getting out of here because things were, and you got married as part of that process, and then it didn't happen. But why don't we take a musical interlude first? Then we'll get into that story because I like it. You've chosen a couple of interesting tracks.
Mm.
What is the first one? Sugar, We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy. What is that intention for you?
Well, Fall Out Boy was probably the first album that I started listening to in the early 2000s, and I love this track, and I love Fall Out Boy, so I thought, Sugar, We're Going Down.
The first of the three tunes chosen by my guest this morning on the Dave Charles Show, Nick Akampora. That was Fall Out Boy. Sugar, We're Going Down. And we are going down on the Dave Charles Show, brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy, Toyota Balito. It's 19 minutes past 11, and we're in conversation with Nick Akampora, who is, he is Mr. Biokinetics in Balito and a very top runner. But we're talking personally, and we've been talking food, and we've been talking music. In fact, during the break, we were even sharing some Italian songs. I won't sing any for you now, because, that time has passed. But we were into an interesting time of your life when you had established yourself in, I think probably it's fair to say, you were in Bolito, or certainly in the environs, and you had a girlfriend who was your fiance, and life was good. And then suddenly along came COVID, which you mentioned, and during that you started a food business, which is very, very entrepreneurial. But then on top of COVID, we had that wonderful period of rioting and mayhem in the country that got many, many people really frightened. And many people wanted to leave, including yourself. Talk us through that.
Yeah, so with COVID, myself and Leah were planning to get married. COVID came around. We had to delay our wedding because no one knew what was happening at the time. And we delayed our wedding. We didn't have a date. And then, as you mentioned, the riots came around, you know. It was actually interesting because the day before the riots, the Monday was the riots. The Sunday, Italy won the Euro. So we went from a high. I had friends at my house, Italian friends. We celebrated that night. We wake up the next morning. It's like the world has been pulled from underneath your feet. And you look at the pictures on the TV, you know, macro getting looted. You're thinking, what is going on here? And within a couple of days, we realized that things were actually quite bad. You know, I had friends of mine leaving, going to Cape Town, and the Italian embassy was getting a hold of all of it, the Italian people, saying, like, we are creating a list and we're going to put together a repatriation flight. And I was like, wow, this is very serious. And Leah and I have been throwing around the idea, look, we should just get married and get you onto that repatriation flight as well. So we did. We quickly jumped on it. But a Friday, we'd gotten married. We got some friends of ours to stand next to us. And that was it. That was how we officially got married.
Wow.
Week of the riots.
That was very, well, shall we say it was an opportunity. You took it. You got married.
For sure.
Did it change your life?
Getting married? Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
I'm not going to ask for the better or the worse, you know, clearly you can volunteer.
Yeah, I have to say for the better, not because I have to, but because truly, like, when you find the right person for you that balances you out in the right way and supports you in the right way, you become the best version of yourself as well, and I truly believe that. So, yeah, I have to say it was a great thing.
It's interesting that you say that, because there are many folk that think marriage has done its time. It's an outdated institution. The statistics speak for themselves. It's very unusual for marriages to last in the times that we're living in. But you've got it right, clearly, and it's a blessing. I very fortunately, 38 years of marriage, and it just gets better and better for Sue and I. So
yeah.
I'm sure it is very like that for you, or similar. Nick, so you married your fiance Leah. You worked together for a bit. Do you still?
Yes, not anymore. At this point in time, we don't work together at all. For the longest time, we met in the gym. She was working in the gym with me, and then we tried to do online things and podcasts and whatnot, and she was always involved in one way or another in what I was doing. But she also needed to chase her own dreams and find her own identity.
It's very hard working together and living together. It is extremely hard. So you're good for you. You've found your sweet spot. Let's talk about your gym. Let's talk about biokinetics. How did you get into that? And for those that don't know, what is biokinetics?
Okay, so biokinetics is a branch of health science that utilizes exercise as a form of medicine. So someone that is injured, someone that has got a chronic condition that needs help, utilizing exercises, targeted exercises, a biokineticist will help you improve your injury status or heal you or manage your chronic conditions. So that's what a biokineticist does. How I got into biokineticists, well, again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, I always wanted to be near to sport in one way or another. I was chasing a professional soccer career, and at the same time, I studied sports science without the idea of I'm going to go into biokinetics. I didn't really know about biokinetics. I didn't think that was an option. As I got through my studies, after 3 years of undergraduate in sports science, there was an option to go into bio, and that's where I made the decision that, yeah, this sounds like the thing that I'd like to do.
How does it differ from physiotherapy?
So it's an interesting question because they do overlap in a way. But the best way to think about it is a physiotherapist will likely deal with the acute phase of an injury or an issue. So if you fall and you hurt your knee and now your knee is swollen, the physio will help you deal with the swelling. They'll help you deal with the initial loss in range of movement. They'll help you deal with moving in the beginning. What a biokineticist then does is they step in later into the rehabilitation process and they guide you all the way back to becoming strong again, getting back to the normal activity, and perhaps in many cases, even better than where you were at before. So that's where the two overlap.
Is it a fairly new discipline? Because until I came to Belita, I'd never heard of it.
It is a fairly new discipline where a lot of other disciplines like chiro, physio have been around for many, many years, some even 100 years. Bio has only been around since the 1990s. So it is a relatively young profession and it is a proudly South African profession.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And for those that say, I've never heard of it, it sounds like one of those woo-woo kind of, you know, new age philosophies that I rather stick to what I know. What would your answer to that be?
I would say people nowadays are not very good at delayed gratification. So they want a quick fix. They want a pill. They want an injection. They want something that is going to help them today.
Even surgery. Yeah.
Even surgery. Bio is going to help you. There is no doubt. The science is there. Exercise is medicine and exercise will heal you.
The reason I mention surgery is because I believe it's fair to say that you can avoid surgery in many instances by taking on a program of biokinetics that gets you over the difficulty.
For sure. I'll always say to people when they come in for an initial assessment, sometimes surgery is definitely an option, but what the exercise rehabilitation will do for you is it will help you go into that surgery stronger, allow you to heal quicker, and get back to doing your activities faster. So there's always a space for exercise. It's just finding the right space that suits you and your lifestyle. And as I mentioned, it's something that you have to adapt your life to and do for a prolonged period of time. You can't just do it for a couple of weeks and expect big changes.
And clearly you have your following. I know I have been through your guidance and expertise. I'm very impressed. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But there's a lot more to Nick Akampora than simply that. So we'll find out a little bit more after we've played another of your tunes. This is the Mumford and Sons collaboration with Baba Mal and a tune called There Will Be Time. Why did you choose that?
So Leah walked down the aisle to this song, and it's one of my favorite moments of time. So, yeah, one of my top songs.
Wow. 12 on the Dave Charles Show on Radio Life and Style, coming to you from the center of Belita, the show brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Belita. I'm in conversation with Nick Akampora, who is, in case you've just joined us, he's an expert in the art of biokinetics, but much more to him than simply that. You've also established yourself as a very good runner. You're very much involved in the local running club. I think you're the captain or the president or the
captain.
Brigadier. and you have quite an interesting sponsorship as well. Let's talk about that. How did you get into the running business?
Bio brought me into the running business. So as I mentioned already, soccer was a thing I wanted to do. Running was the thing that I didn't see coming. When I decided to move to Belita, it was a big decision because soccer happens in Durban, closer to where I was. Moving to Belita meant giving up that part of my life, that goal that I had, and chasing bio full-time. Through chasing bio full-time, moving to Belita, this beautiful small community, I started treating runners that were coming to see me, runners that were doing Comrades, Two Oceans, you know, marathons, these crazy people. I was like, I can't believe these guys are doing these things. And I was just a bio, treating them, helping them, advising them to run less. And then I had the opportunity to get into running. Slowly but surely, I ran my first marathon in 2018. I moved to Belita in 2016. And thereafter, I joined the running club. the rest is history.
So you were fit, but you weren't a runner.
No.
And you became a runner.
Yeah.
And now you do extraordinary distance. You've done Comrades, I think, several times.
Yeah.
And every other marathon going. What is it like? I mean, as a person who will never run a marathon, I'll say that absolutely, hand on heart. The notion, I mean, the last time I ran any considerable distance, I think, was in the military, and there was a good reason for running the considerable distance. But, you know, that's when you have to, when you're driven. Mm. You have to. And then you go, you're doing it because, well, why? Do you get a kick out of it? Or is it compulsion?
I think I'm interested in pushing the boundaries and seeing what my body can achieve.
Are you not hurting your body?
I don't think so. I don't think so, Dave. I think if you do it in a smart way, you're not hurting your body. If you are mindful of your training, you know, do strength and conditioning, don't run through injuries, don't run when you're sick, be responsible with the amount of running that you do, when you do it, perhaps get a coach that can assist you with that. You can do it in a smart way and be quite healthy, much healthier than someone that, you know, goes out to all hours of the night, drinks, and wakes up late and misses out on the beautiful mornings.
Many say it's an addiction. It's a substitute for addiction. And let me put it in perspective. Apparently, for those that have addictive personalities, it's a good addiction rather than a bad addiction, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
Some people find that they have swapped excessive drinking or whatever it is. They are just as addicted to the running, but it's a healthier addiction.
I think it's your why. Your why will determine why you do it.
What is the addictive nature of running? Is it the dopamine?
It's the endorphins that get released, obviously, through training and feeling fit and wanting to run a new goal race or wanting to run a time and then wanting to beat that time. But I'll say this, I'm not addicted to running. I love running and everything that it's done for me in my life. I love helping people run better. But if I had to stop running tomorrow, I would be okay with it because I'm not addicted to it. It is a fundamental part of my life. I love what it brings for me and I love achieving the most that I can with it. But it is not who I am.
Oh. Who are you?
I'm someone that just really gets a kick out of helping people. Whichever way it is, whether it's to run better, to be injury free, to learn something new. Yeah.
And clearly that's been identified as something extraordinary because you've been picked up by a fairly major brand as a what do you call it, a brand representative. You're sponsored
by an ambassador. Yeah, Burn Studios. They're here at Lifestyle. They're a very big South African brand doing fantastic things on the global stage. And yeah, that sponsorship actually came, funny enough, through our podcast that at the time we were looking for sponsorships and reached out to brands that were into running. And Burn Studios was one of them that got very excited about it. The owners of Burn Studios were at the time big fans of the podcast. And we got involved with them early on, 2023, maybe 2024, and I've been working with them ever since.
So you're still a brand ambassador for Burnt?
Correct.
And that's carrying on. Your biokinetics clearly carrying on. Your running clearly carrying on. How are things at the club at the moment? I believe it's bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah. Oh, Dave, it's amazing to see the change. I became the captain of the Striders in 2019. And since then, it's just grown from strength to strength. COVID obviously put a bit of a dampener on it because we couldn't meet up. We couldn't do races. But since then, the club is now sitting almost at 600 members regularly every year. We do a very well-structured program. We have 130, 140 comrades finishers. We have 60 to 80 new people that get into running every year from couch to 10K programs that we run. We are a thriving community that I'm just so proud of.
And clearly you've done remarkably as captain, and there's a lot of challenge to getting things like that together. The fellowship of the runner is, you've identified it, I think it's the fastest growing or the biggest sport in the country now. It used to be fishing at one stage. Do you know that? Running is surpassed that in terms of, because you've got the park runs, you've got, you know, it seems to be the thing to do. Walk, run, whatever, but get out, get healthy, meet the right kind of people. You know, it's a social thing. It's a health and wellness thing. For many, it's a substitute for an addiction that wasn't good. But it's all, you know, as you say. I asked you about the are you not hurting yourself? Because almost every runner that I know, and I know a few because my beloved Sue is part of the fraternity, have been injured and they remain injured.
Mm.
Why?
So there's a stat, 75% of runners will get injured within a space of 2 years. The why, it's likely to be a multifactorial why, likely to be probably doing too much too quickly, probably not doing any strength and conditioning. You're probably not listening to your body when you should, and you're not taking breaks when you should, and you are going from one goal to the next goal to the next goal without giving your body a proper off season. If you think of any other sport, there's a season and there's an off season, whereas with running, there's never really an off switch. So I would say those are the major whys, notwithstanding the biomechanical issues that people have, the historical problems that people have, the jobs that people do. There's so many things that can go into it.
But you, through your biokinetics, are able to assist most, if not all, of those that have experienced injury to get back on the road, which makes it a very lovely, well, it's a wonderful position to be in. You're the captain of the team, of the runners, but you're also able to help where there is a requirement for that. Anyone listening to this wanting to find out more about your biokinetics or the Striders Club or anything else about Nick, how would they get hold of you?
I think the easiest way to get a hold of me is find me on my Instagram at NickTheBio. That's where I'm most social and where I put out all of my things that I do.
Nick with a C.
Nick, N-I-C, underscore the bio. And you can contact me and engage with me through that platform, probably the easiest, and I can direct you anywhere, any which way you need.
And as it's a podcast, you'll be able to listen to that again and get all the information you require. Share it if you will. We're going to be playing out with one of your tunes. The last one that I have on the list from Nick is a Queen tune. Give us the background.
I think when you put yourself out there, there's a lot of pressure, and to always deliver on that pressure, not easy to do. So here it is. This plays in the back of my head when I'm going into big goals.
Thanks for joining me on the Dave Charles Show, Nick.
Thanks, Dave. Cheers, guys.